I didn't have a particular topic in mind. Ramon, who gave me the topic, Bhakti in the Modern Age, which means you can practically speak whatever you want. So what I thought we'd do is, let's just, sometimes it's nice just to pick a completely random verse by complete random choice, because Krishna, these books are not just paper and ink, but they are actually speaking to us, they're Krishna speaking to us, they're living books. And therefore, whenever we read something, it's always completely relevant for our lives. So I thought maybe we could do that today, and perhaps we'll read from Bhagavad Gita. Is that okay? Yeah? So today we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita. And I'm going to ask someone, Mataji in the red, can you pick a number between 1 and 18?
9,
okay. Let's see. She's a very balanced person. She always goes to the middle. Okay, very good. And Prabhudev in the white t-shirt, could you pick a number between 1 and 34?
30.
13? 30. Okay. Alright. Okay. So that's what we'll read today. Chapter number 9, text number 30. The verse we have picked is an incredibly hope-giving verse. How many of you feel like you need hope in life? Yeah. How many of you feel like you know where you want to be in life, but sometimes you're kind of, your goal is here and you are here? How many of you feel like when there's that gap between the ideal and the real, that gap is uncomfortable and it causes some frustration in your life? Okay. So Krishna is speaking to all of us today to give us comfort. I think the Sanskrit is not so complicated, even though you don't have it in front of you. I think if I say it slowly, you will be able to follow. Once I went, actually years ago, I went for Sanskrit class with a traditional teacher of Sanskrit, and we walked into the room with our notepads, and the first thing he said to us was, all pens and paper not allowed. Have you ever been in a class where you're not allowed to take a pen and paper? He said, not allowed. He said, Sanskrit, only you learn from hearing. So this is known as Shruti, that which is heard. So I think if I say it slowly, you'll be able to follow it. So there's four lines of the verse, and I'll chant one line at a time. I'll say it, and then you can repeat after me. Yeah, is that okay? Before we do that, we'll chant the general mantra that we chant before reading Bhagavad Gita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sudaracharo,
Sudaracharo,
Bhajate Mamananya.
Samyavyavasito hi svaha.
Samyavyavasito hi svaha.
So now you've memorized it. anyone want to try? Raghavan, you know this guy. Is it? No, by heart? Okay. You know it, Raghavan? Not by heart. Okay, no problem. I'll just do the word by word, so you can repeat after me. Api.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Chet.
Chet.
If.
If.
Sudhura achara.
Sudhura achara.
One committing the most abominable actions.
One committing the most abominable actions.
Bhajate.
Bhajate.
Is engaged in devotional service.
Engaged in devotional service.
Maam.
Maam.
Unto me.
Unto me.
Ananya bhag.
Ananya bhag.
Without deviation.
Without deviation.
Sadhu.
Sadhu.
A saint.
A saint.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Saha.
Saha.
E.
E.
Mandavya.
Mandavya.
Is to be considered.
Is to be considered.
Samyak.
Samyak.
Completely.
Completely.
Vyavasita.
Vyavasita.
Situated in determination.
Situated in determination.
E.
E.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Saha.
Saha.
E.
E.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. So this is the translation, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly determined, properly situated in his determination. And I'll just read, it's a long purport, so I'll just read the first paragraph and then we'll see how far we get. Okay, so this is Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word Sudhura Achara used in this verse is very significant and we should understand it properly. When a living entity is conditioned, he has two kinds of activities. One is conditional and the other is constitutional. As for protecting the body or abiding by the rules of the society and state, certainly there are different activities even for the devotees in connection with conditional life, and such activities are called conditional. Besides these, the living entity who is fully conscious of the spiritual nature and is engaged in Krishna consciousness or the devotional service of the Lord has activities which are called transcendental. Such activities are performed in his constitutional position and they are technically called devotional service. Now, in the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and the conditional service in relation to the body will parallel one another. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed to one another. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious so that he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. He knows that perfection in activities depends on his progressive realization of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, however, it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness commits some act which may be taken as most abominable socially or politically. But such a temporary fall down does not disqualify him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated that if a person falls down but is wholeheartedly engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, being situated within his heart, purifies him and excuses him from that abomination. Okay, let me stop there. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The scriptures explain that each one of us have four defects. Are you aware of this? Does anyone know what the four defects of the conditioned soul are? Okay. So the first defect of the conditioned soul is that we have imperfect senses. Have you noticed? Sometimes we think we see something, but we see the wrong thing. Sometimes our senses become damaged. Sometimes we perceive the limitation of our senses, it only goes so far. For example, we cannot see what is going on behind this wall. Our senses are imperfect. The second defect of the conditioned soul is that because we have imperfect senses, the second defect is we have a tendency to become covered by illusion. Have you ever been illusioned in your life? Have you ever?
Most of the time,
yes. One time, one devotee, he said to Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, sometimes I forget Krishna and fall into illusion." Prabhupada said, "All the time you are in illusion, and sometimes you remember Krishna." So most of the time we're in illusion, that's a fact. So the second defect of the conditioned soul is that we are in illusion. We have the wrong concept of life, the wrong concept of reality. Then the third defect of the conditioned soul, because we have imperfect senses, therefore we have a tendency to fall into illusion. And then the third defect is, because we have a tendency to be in illusion, what do? We commit mistakes. Many mistakes are there, isn't it? So many mistakes someone will commit in their life. We look back in our life and we think, I wish I did not do that. Oh, my life would have been different if I had not acted or said that thing. For example, words. Sometimes in the way we speak, we say things which later on we regret. And people remember. You'd be amazed what people remember you said. One time I met someone and he said, "You said this 23 years ago." I was like, wow, that's a good memory, you know. For someone with imperfect senses, that's a good memory. It's amazing how deep people's words go. So therefore, the third defect of the conditioned soul is we make mistakes. And then what's the fourth defect of the conditioned soul? Because we have imperfect senses, therefore we're in illusion. Because we're in illusion, therefore we make mistakes. And because we make mistakes, what's the fourth defect? We have a tendency to cheat. Cheat. Cheating propensity. Have you noticed?
What we are doing is like,
cover up our mistakes, brush it under the carpet, put it in the closet, cover it up. No, that person was wrong. I wasn't wrong. That person made the mistake. It wasn't me. We have a tendency to cheat, to lie. You know how many lies the average person tells in a day? You don't want to know. I'm not going to lie. Because I don't want to lie, I'm not going to say. So many lies, cheating, presenting something to the world, but inside being something very different. Outside is one thing, inside is different. Cheating. So these are the four defects of the conditioned soul. You'll remember that, isn't it? Imperfect senses, illusion, mistakes, and therefore cheating. But our teachers, you know what they say? To some extent, the first three things, you can't do anything about it. Can you do anything about it, that your senses are imperfect? It is what it is. We were born with this body. Can you trade in the body? Can you go to the shop? I want an exchange. No, you're with this body now. So we came with imperfect senses, can't do anything about that. Therefore, we'll be in illusion. To some extent, you can't do anything about that. Illusion will overcome us. And then we make mistakes, to some extent that will happen. Isn't it? What do they say in the English language? To err is? To make mistakes is human. But the fourth one, that we have a choice over. Do we want to then be a cheater? Do we then want to cover it up? Do we want to justify it? Do we try to say, no, it wasn't my mistake, someone else's mistake? That's the one thing that we can do something about. Have you ever been in an argument with someone? And you're arguing, and then at one point in the argument you realize, oh my God, I'm wrong. It's already risen to 100 degrees. Intense argument, and then you realize, oh my God, I realize this person is actually right. And then what will you do in that moment? What will you do? Will you say, no, it's gone too far. Have to continue fighting. Doesn't matter, I'm wrong. The fourth one, we have an opportunity to be honest. So one of our teachers, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, weakness in spirituality is not a disqualification, but cheating is a disqualification. So therefore, we must always be honest. In our weakness, if we are honest, then Krishna here says, you're still to be considered well situated on the path, even if you make a mistake. Su Duna Achar. Achar means, not Piko. Achar means activities. Dura Achar means bad activities. Su Duna Achar means extremely bad activity. Have you ever done something extremely bad? This is not one of these anyway, meetings. You don't have to reveal here. We may have done something very bad. We may know someone who has done something very bad. But here Krishna is saying, Abhichet, even if Sudhura Archer, someone does something very bad, Samyak Vyavasito Vishaha, if they're honest and if they're correctly situated in sincere attempts to come back to the right place, Sadhu Eva, they should be considered a saint. A saint? Saints are the ones we worship on the altar. Saints are the ones we bow down to and offer all our respects to. Krishna, you're saying that person's a sadhu? Krishna says, Sadhu Eva. Eva means certainly. Krishna is saying, certainly that person is a saint. Because even in the mistakes that someone may make in their spiritual journey, how many people in this world come to the spiritual journey? Have you ever thought? How many people are there on this planet? 7 billion? How many do you think are genuinely in their heart trying to give their life and soul to God? 0.001%? How many? Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kashkit yadati siddhaye yadatam abhisiddhanam kashkim maham vedi tatrata. Krishna says, out of many thousands of people in this world, one may endeavor for perfection. And out of those thousands who are endeavoring for perfection, maybe one will reach me. So anyone who comes to spiritual life is very, very rare. And when they come to spiritual life, we can't expect that they will be a pure devotee from day number one. We can't expect that we will be a pure devotee from day number one. When someone came to the temple and said, oh my God, you know, I used to think everyone here was a pure devotee. And then I got to know all these people. They say, in the beginning we think everyone is a pure devotee. Later on we think maybe a few of them are pure devotees. Later on we think none of them are pure devotees, I'm a pure devotee though. And then later on we realize even I'm not a pure devotee. Do pure devotees exist actually? Yes, pure devotees do exist. One time they asked Srila Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there in the Krishna Consciousness Movement? And you know what Prabhupada did? He turned to the devotee and he said, how many devotees in the movement? So devotee said, X number. Prabhupada said, not many pure devotees there are. Why? Because they may not be fully pure, but they're engaged in the pure process of Krishna Consciousness, Therefore, after some time, naturally they will come to the state of purity. But on the journey to purity, the most important quality, or one of the most important qualities, is honesty and truthfulness. There's no purity without honesty. Did you know that there are four legs upon which civilization stands? Did you know this? There are four pillars on which civilization stands. You know what they are? Daya, mercy. Tapa, austerity. Socham, cleanliness. And Satyam, truthfulness. Right? These are the four pillars on which society stands. When these four things are in place, society is wonderful. When these things start to erode, society breaks down. Once they came to Mahatma Gandhi and they said, "What do you think of Western civilization?" He said, "I think it would be a good idea." In other words, what is the civilization? Is civilization only means some kind of technological, environmental, practical arrangement? Is this civilization? Civilization means there's content of character. Therefore, when one takes an initiation, diksha, then what do? They vow to follow how many regulative principles? Four. One time someone was getting initiated and he said, "I follow 16 regulative principles and chant 4 rounds. No, we wanted to chant 16 rounds and follow 4 regulative principles. Why do we tell people no meat eating? Because meat eating destroys which one? Daya, mercy. If you are merciless, if you eat meat, if you put that in your body and you are not even thinking how much pain you've caused to an animal, then that kind of mentality, you will be very indiscriminate towards others. Therefore, no meat eating. Then what do we say? No illicit physical connection with the opposite gender. Why do we say this? Because it destroys which one? Cleanliness, socham. Inner cleanliness, outer cleanliness, destroyed. Because we see the other person as an object of enjoyment rather than an object of service. And when you try to exploit, then that means your own mentality gets polluted. Therefore, socham is destroyed. Therefore, we do not follow that. Then we ask people when they take diksha, do not engage in intoxication. Not even tea or coffee. Tea or coffee? No, no intoxication. Why? Because intoxication destroys what? Tapa, austerity. Why does it? Because intoxication means you want instant gratification. But austerity means you're willing to forego an immediate gratification so that long term you'll get something much better. This art to aim for the long term benefit and not just the short term benefit. This strength to do, to not give up what you want most for what feels good now. When you take intoxication, you destroy this quality of austerity. And then we tell people, no gambling. No national lottery. Oh God, I know I'm a sinner, but make me a winner. No. Why? Because gambling destroys truthfulness. Why does gambling destroy truthfulness? Because you don't want to make honest living. You don't want to honestly earn what you deserve. You just want to get something quick. You want to get something without effort. And when you want to get something quick without effort, you will be untruthful to make it happen. Therefore, No loving.
In Kali Yuga, the age we're living in now, practically three of these legs are completely destroyed. But there's only one leg which is remaining in this age. Do you know which one it is? Which one do you think? Which one do you think of the four is still remaining in Kali Yuga? According to your observation of life, what do you think, Mataji?
Truthfulness.
Truthfulness, Mataji says. Okay. Any other idea?
Mercy.
Mercy. Anyone think something different? Actually, there's a little bit of all of these, but the one which is said to be still remaining is truthfulness. Why? Why is truthfulness remaining? Does it look like a very truthful world to you? Put your hands up if you trust the media. Put your hands up if you trust the politicians. Put your hands up if you trust Radhaman. Yes. Generally, we don't trust. Everyone is lying. The shopkeeper is lying. For you, I don't make any profit. Yeah, right. Everyone is lying. So how can we say in Kali Yuga, society is resting on truthfulness? You have an idea for me? In what way is truthfulness still? Yes, you have something?
Because Krishna is existing.
Because Krishna is existing? But Krishna, okay. Krishna is existing, therefore truthful is it.
Krishna is the truth.
Krishna is the truth, yes. But Krishna is also mercy.
Yeah.
Krishna is also kind.
People are living.
Any other idea? Why do you think truthfulness is what this civilization is still? There's some hope. Because truthfulness is still there. In what sense?
Because people are searching for the truth.
People are searching for the truth. There's still a few souls who are searching for the truth. Good. Any other reason? Why is truthfulness? Why is society still spending on truthfulness? Priya Bratha, what do you think?
I agree with what the lady said.
Because of the saints and they are praying for the whole world. That's why the truthfulness still prevails.
Closer. You're there, but it's a little, there's something more specific. Why this world is still resting on truthfulness? Where is truth found?
In
the heart, even in the heart of the conditioned soul? Yeah, actually, true. But it's covered. Where do we go to find truth?
Shastra.
What is Shastra? Scripture. Why is Kali Yuga still resting on truthfulness? Because in this world, there is still existing the scripture. Therefore, why did Srila Prabhupada put so much emphasis on writing books? Because the books give you access to the truth. And that truth is what will actually recreate the world and make the world a better place. Therefore, every single morning when everyone else was sleeping, what was Srila Prabhupada doing? He was up. He was on a dictaphone. And when everyone else was sleeping, he was translating the books day in, day out. Because he knew if I give people access to these books, access to the Shastra, then that truth, that access to that truth will help them to come out of their illusion. And therefore in Kali Yuga, everything is resting on honesty, truthfulness. And that comes from the scriptures. Therefore we have to read the scriptures. But not just read the scriptures, we have to live the scripture. And when we live the scripture, then we also have to try to share that scriptures with others. And that will make our life successful and the world a much better place. And so here in this verse, Krishna is saying, even if one makes a mistake. Sometimes we are in a community here, someone will make a mistake. Sometimes someone will do something not very nice. Then what do? Do we just turn a blind eye? Do we just say, it's okay, they're a saint anyway, it's fine. What does this verse really mean in practice? It means more, we must try to help that person improve. If someone needs to be corrected, we must correct them. If someone is doing something which is harmful to others, then we have to protect the community and make sure that they don't do such things. However, in the midst of all of that, if that person is still sincere, if that person in their heart is still trying to come to the level of purity, then we should not write them off. We should always be kind and give people a chance. Because Krishna says, in this age, everyone is weak. Everyone will make mistakes. And when we're kind to others, then Krishna will be kind to us. Sometimes we are judges for other people's mistakes and we are lawyers for our own mistakes. When someone else makes a mistake, then we play the part of a judge. Wow, no, that was wrong. That was absolutely against the law. But when we make a mistake, no, the lawyer comes out. All the arguments, defense arguments. No, I made a mistake, but you have to take account. So many things are there. If we are not kind to others, then why would Krishna be kind to us? Therefore, forgiveness is a big aspect of spiritual life, isn't it? Isn't it hard to forgive? No, it's not easy. Easy to forgive, really?
Wow.
For me, it's not easy.
I get angry once, but I do.
But then you forgive. That's nice. Yes, we must forgive. When now we are going to have Janmashtami, and what did Kamsa do? Kamsa killed all of Devaki's children. Can you imagine what that would be like? She had 7 children. 6 children were directly killed by Kamsa. Right in front of her. Just after they were born. Kamsa just killed them. And then later on, when Devaki and Vasudev, they saw that in Kamsa, maybe, there's a little change of heart, they were ready to forgive him. Could you ever have that level of forgiveness? Vasudev and Devaki did. Because they knew in this world, everyone is overcome by illusion. We are very weak. So they knew, everyone will make mistakes. So Krishna and Krishna's devotees are very, very kind. They know that we have an ideal of where we want to be, and they know that there is the reality of where we are, and they know that there is a gap. And therefore, Krishna and Krishna's devotees are always encouraging us. Doesn't matter, you made a mistake, keep trying. And I'll give you one last analogy which will help you to hopefully have some hope. Did you know that when a plane flies from one city to another city, say from London to Los Angeles, did you know that the pilot has a flight path that they have to follow? And it's one line like this. Now, did you know that on any given flight from one destination to another, did you know that for 80% of the flight, the aeroplane is not on the flight path? Did you know that? The plane is always either this side or this side, because there is wind, there are other planes, there are always something. So the plane is only on the flight path for 20% of the journey. But the amazing thing is, after 10 hours, the plane still arrives at its destination. Why? Because although the plane was off the flight path for 80% of the journey, for 100% of the journey, what was the pilot trying to do? get back to the flight path. Because the pilot was always trying to get back to the flight path, it didn't matter that for 80% of the journey, the plane was off the flight path. And that basically is the story of our life. For most of our life, we're off the flight path. We're off what Krishna says we should be. Krishna says, Ahimsa satyama krodas tyagat shantirapeshanam. Krishna says, be non-violent, be truthful, be renounced, be wise. For most of our life, we are none of these things. But every day if we say, let me try to get back there. Let me try. Samya vyavasito hisaha, Krishna says in this verse. Be determined to try to get back. Then Krishna knows, okay, we're like a child who's trying to walk, but is constantly falling. Yeah, eventually we keep getting up, and then eventually we will be able to walk. So let us be kind to each other, then Krishna will be kind to us, and let us have that hope that even if sometimes we may make some mistake and fall short of the ideal, but then still we can become perfect and pure by the mercy of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. I don't know if there are any questions or any comments or any clarification you would like. I kind of spoke very generally. But maybe in real life it's a complex issue, so maybe you have something you would like to ask or comment on, then we can have some discussion. That would be nice. Yes.
I have a question. So you mentioned the weak kind. Don't you get tired of being kind of love? Just generally, let's say I'm driving on the road. You're being pressurized, right? You just can't be straight. You have to drive. In India, you have to drive rash. In UK, you have to follow the road. Don't you think the situation changes? You can't be kind all the time. You're being flat
footed. Let me ask you a question. Does it feel better when you do something nice for someone, or does it feel better when you get angry and frustrated at someone?
Be nice to someone.
Actually, being kind, it makes your life very, very light. It makes your life like you begin to float through this world. You know Nelson Mandela, he was wrongly imprisoned for so many years. What was it called? What was the name of the prison? Robin Island. Okay, so he came out of the prison after being wrongly accused. So many years. Can you imagine? You just waste. Like, that's just like, we look at COVID and we think, okay, we'll just take those 2 years out of life. You know, we can't really do much. Forget that. I mean, imagine for 2 decades, you just cancel it out. So life gone. Imagine how you would feel. So when Nelson Mandela came out of prison, you know what he said? One devotee came to him, he said, here's a Bhagavad Gita. Mandela said, I already read it. He said, you read the Bhagavad Gita? He said, yeah, one of my cellmates was a Hindu, and he gave me the Bhagavad Gita. Wow. He said, did you read? He said, yeah, I read it. Then the devotee said to Mandela, what did you learn from the Bhagavad Gita? So Mandela said, what I learned from the Gita is that the day I walked free from the jail, if I did not simultaneously give up my bitterness, my anger, my frustration, my feelings of negativity towards those who created harm against me, then although I would be free from prison, I would still be imprisoned by my own emotions. Who is imprisoning you? Your own emotions are imprisoning you. So when you're kind, when you're giving, when you're forgiving, they say, God gives, 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 and then forgives. We get get, and then forget. So it's just like when you begin to live that life where you're just a giver, live to give, live to be a giver, then your life becomes very light. Your life becomes, you're not carrying all these burdens on you because you're a giver. But when you have expectation, then you'll be frustrated. So therefore selflessness is such a beautiful quality. So yeah, in the beginning it's a bit of a push to be kind. But once you, it's like getting up in the morning. It's like, some people, we're all like different cars when we get up in the morning. Some of us, it takes like an hour or two to get the engine going, you know? Like in our monastery, like everyone sleeps on the floor, everyone has a sleeping bag. The alarms are going off on like 3 o'clock in the morning, everyone's got a different alarm, you know. And the amazing thing is the person who sets their alarm the earliest is the one who sleeps the deepest and doesn't hear their alarm. So everyone else, like they, you know, they have this incredible enthusiasm to get up at 2:30 in the morning, but the problem is everyone else hears the alarm except them. Like, it's a little frustrating, you know. Anyway, that's another story. The point is, some people, they take a bit of time in the morning to get up. For some people, it's a process. You've got to snooze it out 5-6 times, and then, okay, slowly, slowly, okay, 20 minutes in the bathroom, psych yourself up, you know. So being kind is a little bit like that. You have to get the engine going. You know? It's like, why do I have to give? Why do I have to serve the prasadam? I did it last week. Someone else should do it. We can be in sometimes in this kind of very calculative mentality. But once you get into the flow of giving, you'll experience such happiness that you won't want to stop giving. So it's very nice. It's nice to forgive and to give. To give and to forgive. The goal of life is not to remember all the terrible things that someone done to us. The goal of life is to remember all the wonderful things that Krishna is doing for us every single day. But you know what? If our minds are hijacked by all the terrible things that someone did to me, there'll be no space to remember all the wonderful things that Krishna is doing for me every day. So what do you want to do? You want to live with all that negativity? Or you want to fill your life with positive Krishna consciousness? Then you have to let go. And you have to give. So be a giver. Live to give. That's a beautiful life. That's the goal of our life.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're already doing. Just reminding you. Anyone else have any question on any of these points? Yes.
A question about this giving thing.
The giving thing, yes.
Why? Continue on the giving question. Why is it that sometimes you feel that if you are a giver, people are taking advantage of giving.
Yeah.
How do you tackle that?
Well, can I have your phone? Is that okay? Can I read your phone? This is a poem which apparently Mother Teresa had by her bedside in the Calcutta orphanage. So maybe this was kind of guiding her life. And this is what she says. The poem is called Do It Anyway. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. I think you can give a round of applause for that. There's some amazing truth to that. We think it's between us and them. People are taking advantage of me. People, of course, we have to be practical. If someone is just being completely obnoxious, then we may create some distance, we may not. That's a different thing. But did you know that when you give, regardless of how that person reacts to you, your life becomes beautiful. It's not between you and them. It's between you and Krishna. Krishna sees your generosity. Krishna sees your kindness. Krishna sees your selflessness. Krishna is in your heart. Ishvara sarva bhutana mridesa arjuna disthiti. So Krishna, who can reward you better than Krishna? Even if you think, I'm so kind to them, what did they do for me? What can they ultimately do for you anyway? But Krishna is in your heart. Krishna can do the best things. And Krishna will reciprocate. So more than their reciprocation, we know that Krishna's reciprocation will be there. And therefore sometimes people may not appreciate. Sometimes people may not acknowledge. Many of you are mothers. Sometimes even your kids don't reciprocate. Your kids don't appreciate. But it's okay. As a mother, you keep giving. Because there's still joy in that, isn't it? So the joy is not in the reciprocation that people give you. The joy is in the act of being selfless, for which Krishna will reward you unlimitedly. So, but yes, on a practical level, if you feel someone is exploiting you or taking advantage of you and it's disturbing your mind, then you may create a little bit of a distance from that person, then give somewhere else. But for the most part, whatever people do, we give. And in that way, our life becomes wonderful. I hope that helps. Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Excuse my ignorance. I just wanted to clarify as to why the shloka says that you should consider a person who is found the most pious man as a saint, but not as a
practicing
person, yeah, whom you are supporting to get back onto the track, whereas it's saying that you should consider them as a saint.
Yeah, and the key to understanding this is the fact that the other shloka that Krishna mentions in the Gita, that anyone who comes to this path is a rare, rare soul. Is a rare soul. You know, after millions of lifetimes, one comes to the point of saying like, okay, Krishna, I'm going to serve you. And not just Krishna, I'm going to serve you. Here it says they're determinedly engaged. In other words, they've given their hearts, they've given their minds, but there is still some residue of karmic conditioning, and therefore they are impelled to act in a certain way. Therefore, of course, this is not just any, you know, we can't just use this for ourselves and say, yeah, well, I made a mistake, but yeah, look, Krishna says I'm still a sadhu, so, you know, don't offend me. We don't use it for ourselves because we think, who am I? I'm no one. I'm God. But here Krishna is saying, one who is given, who is determinedly engaged, it means in their life, they don't really have any other aspiration. They're not really looking for a house by the sea, a color TV, this or that. They've kind of gone beyond all of that. They've given their heart to Krishna. But sometimes they make a mistake because sometimes old habits die hard, isn't it? So, you know, now sometimes we speak and, you know, most of the time flowers come out, but now and again a frog may come out and say, oh my God, put it back in. Now as you're jumping around everywhere, you can't do it. Oh no, quickly get it back. No. So it's like that. We have some conditioning. So the key here is that this is not just anyone. This is someone who is samyak vyavasito hi saha. It means they've given their heart to try and... this is their top agenda now in life. How many of us could put our hands up and say, my top agenda in life now is going back home, back to Godhead and loving Krishna? Can we say it's our top agenda? It's on the agenda. It's definitely on the agenda. But you know what? There's a lot of other things on the agenda as well. There's a lot of things on the to-do list still.
That's my agenda. Apart from Krishna.
Okay, what's the agenda? Yeah. See, we still have many things to do in this life. We are still have many things. Okay, I'll give you two choices. Are you ready? Everyone has to choose one or two. And you have to be honest. Agreed? Okay, choice number one. Just pretend I'm Krishna for a second. I will give you all material comforts. I will make your children successful in whatever they desire in their life, even spiritually. I will help you to have a peaceful existence throughout this life. I will help you to make a transition out of this life in such a way that you don't feel any pain. And at the end of this life, I will take you back to the spiritual world. That's option A. Do you need to hear option B? That's good, huh? That's nice, huh? Option B. I'll take you to the spiritual world now. This moment. Mataji, ready? Now. We go now. Let's go to the spiritual world. Now. Which one do you want?
Second.
Second one? Second one you're saying, Mataji. Easy to say. Everyone will say the second one. But in reality, are you ready to go this moment? Are you ready to leave it all behind? To just say, okay, boom, I'm ready to go. Knowing that you have another option whereby you can do it all nicely and then also go back. One is a little bit more human, isn't it? It's like, yeah. First one, you're also going back home, back to Godhead. And you have a nice life, wrap it all up, kids will grow up nicely, house by the sea.
That's an illusion.
And then, Goloka, Vrindavan. What can you get up? Most of us will go for option A. But that in itself is revealing. Because that means we still have many things we want to wrap up here. And we want Krishna. But we still got many things we want to wrap up here. So when Krishna here is saying, Samyak Vyavasito hi saha, he's saying someone who doesn't really have any agendas here anymore. It's not an ordinary person. This is actually someone who's dedicated. And such a person may sometimes make a mistake. But they're saintly because at least their vision has been orientated to the correct destination. Most people, their vision is not orientated in the right way. They are still seeing the temporary. But this person's vision is orientated towards the eternal. So, does that help? I don't have any for time. It's like 10:35. We have more time. If anyone has any more, yes.
Thank you, Krishna. I struggle with not being cross with people when they think it's okay to still have cruelty to the animals. Is there a way to handle that better?
Jesus Christ, he said, hate the disease, not the disease. So somehow we have to separate the issue from the person. Somehow we have to separate the conditioning from the person who's conditioned. There was one German poet and he said, treat a man as he is and he will remain as he is. But treat a man as he can and should be and he'll become what he can and should be. So when we're somehow able to have a vision of saintliness where we look beyond people's conditionings and we see within them a spark of sincerity and we try to fan that and look beyond their weaknesses, their defects, then we begin to not just be a passive observer of people, but we actually become active contributors in helping them, active agents in helping them become better. That was Srila Prabhupada. He had all of these individuals who came to him. They were on drugs, many of them also eating meat. Many of them were doing so many things, but Srila Prabhupada looked beyond all of that. And he looked at a spark of sincerity. And he said, "Wow, there's some sincerity there. Okay, let's fan that and make that into a fire. And then that fire of sincerity will burn up all of the other conditionings." There was one devotee in our movement, his name was Jayananda. I don't know if you've heard of him. I'm not self-promoting myself here, but for ISKCON Manchester, we once did a talk on Jayananda, I think. It's online, if you ever want to see. Not because I'm speaking, but because he's a great personality. You can do it. It's on the Manchester YouTube. He was just such a generous person. He was such a kind person. He was such an encouraging and uplifting and empowering person. And what happened one day is that a devotee had left the temple and of all jobs, he became a butcher. I mean, if you're going to leave the temple, that's bad. But then if you become a butcher, I mean, that's bad, you know, that's really bad. So Jayananda thought, I just got to go, I got to try and speak to him, you know, I got to try and... So Jayananda turned up in this butcher's shop. So this devotee, he had been away for months and everyone else had kind of written him off like, oh my God, he's become a butcher. Like, I mean, it couldn't get worse than that. So no one had come to see him. And so Jayananda decided to come and see him. And so he came into this butcher shop. You can imagine what a butcher shop is like. And then he said, I want to meet so and so. So the shopkeeper said, oh, that guy, he's at the back. So Jayananda went to the back. Now you go, I mean, the front of a butcher shop is bad enough. You go to the back. I mean, it's a war zone. So he went into the back of this butcher shop. And then in the distance, he saw this devotee. This devotee was living as a monk in the temple. And now he had become a butcher. He had a knife in it, like a machete. He had this white kind of, which was fully bloodied, full blood. And there was a carcass in front of him and he was like this. And Jayananda saw him. So Jayananda looked at him, he looked at Jayananda and was like, oh my God, it's like not a moment when you want to meet a devotee, you know. And you know what Jayananda did? He just said, hey, good to see you after such a long time. And he just went up to him and he just hugged him. Jayananda just hugged him. And he just said like, where have you been? Yeah, we've been missing you. We've got Rath Yatra festival coming up and why don't you come? And all the devotees are asking about you. And he didn't say anything like, oh, you became a butcher. How can you do this? This is not good for you. He didn't talk anything about that. He just loved him. Jayananda, after 5-10 minutes, he walked out the butcher shop. This devotee, He took off his apron, he put the machete down. He looked at the shopkeeper and said, I can't do this anymore. I'm going back to the Hare Krishna temple. And he just went straight back to the temple. And what was it that did it? that complete non-judgmental love. That someone was able to just look beyond all of that conditioning, all of that, and just say, no, he's so kind. Jayananda was so kind to me. He conquered me by love. An ounce of love is worth a ton of work. So we have to try to conquer people's hearts, not judge their conditionings. What do you want to do? Do you want to judge people's conditionings, or do you want to conquer people's hearts? That's the choice we all have. So Srila Prabhupada conquered hearts. He didn't judge conditionings. And that made Srila Prabhupada a saint. So it's tough. We're not so advanced. We can't just overlook it all. But eventually we should see. Eventually we should also look at our own life and say, I also was not saying. Maybe in this life I didn't do anything that bad. How do I know what I did in previous lives? Maybe I also worked in a few butcher shops in my time. Maybe I also, you know, committed some violence towards others in my journey in this material world. There's a good chance. No, I don't have a criminal record. Maybe not in this life. How do you know what you did in the previous life? So we should not be judges for others and lawyers for ourselves. Be kind to others, but we'll be showered with grace. Some thoughts.
Thank you.
Yes, going on. Who is a personification of kindness?
The mental words we like to guide us into because we are we sent at the beginning of this journey, so it is to be the whole community here. Could you please give us a start on how we can individually and collectively come together in a way which helps individually as well as collectively.
Yeah, somehow I thought today we spoke about many things which are important for a community as well. The first thing is that be a giver. In a community, if everyone is a giver, if everyone comes out of their comfort zone and says, I'm going to do something to make this community wonderful. I'm going to do something to make ISKCON Stoke what Srila Prabhupada would want it to be. Everyone can be a giver. And when we have 20 out of 20 devotees who are all givers, then before long, 20 devotees will be 400 devotees. It will just multiply. If everyone is giving. If everyone is thinking, well, there's already quite a few givers here, so I'm okay. No, then it won't quite work as fast as it can. So I think the first thing is, it's amazing what you can do in a community when everyone is a giver. It's amazing how much the devotees can achieve when they all become givers. Shall I tell you an amazing statistic? In 1976, there was about 20 or 25 devotees who were book distributors in the southern states of America in 1976. And they were their goal was book distribution because Srila Prabhupada had told them, book distribution is my life and soul. So they were dedicating themselves, thinking, how can we distribute? And they were distributing amazing numbers of books. Do you know that in 1976, these devotees ordered 1 million copies of the Bhagavad Gita to be printed in a single print run? 1 million. Now, shall I tell you what's more amazing? At that time in the history of the world, no one had printed 1 million of anything. No book had been printed 1 million times. The first order for 1 million books to be printed in the history of the human world was when followers of Srila Prabhupada decided to print the Bhagavad Gita 1 million times. And who were they? Were just 20, 30 guys, guys and girls, going out. But that's the spiritual energy that you can generate when everyone's a giver. So, yeah, let us all be givers. Let us all look at this community and think, what will I do? What can I bring to this community? How can I make a difference? Everyone is a leader in this community. It's not that there are just a few people on the top and they're the leaders. Everyone's a leader. And you come with your ideas, and there will be all the empowerment and support to make it happen. So I would say that's the first thing. We want everyone to be givers. The second thing is, we talked today about forgiveness and kindness. So let us have very good, encouraging, warm relationships amongst each other. Encourage each other, support each other, be non-judgmental towards each other. People should come into this community and they should think, these people are different. I've never been amongst people like this. Everywhere I go, at work, or here or there, people are always fighting, people are always arguing. But when I come here, it's different. These people are, they are nice people. They should feel like this is not just that we talk something spiritual, but they should feel the warmth of that spirituality in the love between all of us. So I would say, be a giver, encourage each other and have wonderful relationships with each other, and then open the doors and go out and try to invite new people to come here. This isn't just an in-house club for some people. These are open doors, and we want to invite anyone and everyone, whatever their background, whatever their conditioning, to come here and hopefully make their life beautiful. So we should also go out and try and make this available for as many people. Do a harinam, do a book table, take it into the schools, wherever it may be. Invite your friends, your family. See, we could start a Sunday program, and if everyone here said, I'm going to invite two friends. Everyone makes a commitment. I invite two people. You know two people in this world. All of you know two people that haven't been here before. That would be amazing. Then we have a full room. Wow. And then imagine the energy that will come from that. So we can all do that. So there's so much to do. This is exciting. We came here this morning because this is exciting. This is an embassy of the spiritual world. It's, you all, what you've done by putting this project together, you've done something which actually has not been done in many, many years in this country. I can't remember the last time we had a new temple or a new center like this. It's been some years. So it's groundbreaking. It's exciting. And fortune favors the brave. So you've been brave, you've stuck your neck out to try to do this. Krishna will help. Krishna's forced to help. Because you went out of your way to try. So it will be wonderful. And we hope to keep coming again and again. And I wonder what that means. I said, we hope to keep coming again and again, and then the door closed. Does that mean I shouldn't go? Yeah. Or again, the door closed to come in? I don't know. We'll have to see what that means. So no, it's very nice. It's very wonderful. And we have so much appreciation for what all of you are doing. Thank you for being the pioneers. You will be known as the pioneers. 20 years from now, maybe we'll be here, maybe we'll be in a bigger place, but all of you will be here, and you'll look back and we'll say, yeah, 20 years ago, we were there. Just a few of us. and you look back with good time seeing how Krishna magically crafted it all. So it's an adventure, great journey, and Srila Prabhupada is walking with you at every step. Hare Krishna. Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Shri Panchatattva ki, Shri Gopinath ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, ISKCON stock ki, Jai.